Lately, I've been working on a lot of different hours, and I haven't been able to go over to the credit union and put my money into the credit union so we could pay our bills. And I live with a roommate, and most of you know my roommate, Dave. And he gets a little excited when we don't have the money in there, and he got kind of excited the other day. And because I never know what hours I'm going to have to work, and a lot of times I work past 5 o'clock, and that's when they close. So, and then he wanted to get kind of argumentative about it but I just try to calm him down, and because he's bipolar, and that eats at him. He just gets that thought, and it just goes and goes and goes. So I try calming him down, just say, let it go. God's got this covered. I trust God, and God will make a way. He always does. So, but he didn't let it go, but I walked away. And then the next morning, I was out working, but I told the guy, I said, I got to go to the credit union sometime. Well, we got our first job, but it's Select Comfort. It's putting beds in people's places. And the next morning, well, we were out of Kalamazoo, and we were driving by. Well, hey, there's my credit union. I got to go over there. So he pulls in there real quick, and I jump out of the truck, go take care of business. And, man, the thing was, though, it was to show David that God's got everything covered.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Most of you know that we have services in Ionia on Friday nights. Well, this week we had it on a Saturday. So we had it last night. And it's like we opened up the service and we just invited God and we asked him to be there, and God blew the place up. It was amazing. And he's just been our provider through the whole thing. It's like everything has fallen into place for this ministry, and he has chosen us to do this. And it's just amazing to see it unfold. And he has also ignited in me the boldness that I need, that he given me to speak to others. And I just thank God because he's awesome.
Amen.
I did my homework for once. So I just kind of wrote down the qualities or characteristics or whatever of what being a disciple is. And as I did that, I saw how they were alike, but it opened it up. I mean, as kids and whatever, we hear about the disciples of Jesus, but it's just a word. But when I did this, it's like that the Holy Spirit touched me, and it's just like bonfire blaze. And it's not just a word. It's not just being a follower of Christ. It is intimacy. It is, I mean, if you think about your closest, when he's in Matthew 12:46-50, when he says that everybody who follows God is his mother, sister, and brother. Those are the closest relationships we can have. They're our blood. They are those people that know us the most, inside and out. If you think about your children, you know, since the time you brought them home, you got to know them. They don't have to do anything. You know, you know them. And it's that kind of intimacy that we are supposed to have with Christ. We're supposed to want to know. We're supposed to be that close. Closer than our best. When you think about all those intimate relationships, he's even closer than that. And that was one of the common threads between all the different passages. And another one was love. We're supposed to love as God loves. And there's no thought. It just is. It's like you don't think about breathing. You don't, I'm mad at my lungs today, so I'm just not going to breathe. You know, I really hate the way I sound when I inhale, so I'm just going to skip it today. Or I, you know, really don't like the fact that I snore at night. I don't. But, you know, so I'm just not going to breathe at night. You don't have a choice. It's that magnetic pull that you just don't have a choice. You you just forgive, you just love, and it doesn't matter. It's unconditional. You don't have to earn it. Nobody has to earn it. Within the last week or so, I had somebody really upset me. And normally I would go off and I'd tell them all their bad qualities in some very colorful language. And I didn't. And this person approached me and said, why aren't you angry? This is weird. This isn't right. You would have been angry before. You must not really care. It didn't bother you. You know, that's why you're not mad, because you just don't care. And I took them to scripture and said, no, this is how we're supposed to love. This, I'm supposed to just, you know. And the other common thread between this is obedience. Jesus sent his disciples out. They didn't question. They went out and they did as they were told, because not just because they were told, because they had something pulling like from their chest and from their soul just reaching out. They didn't have a choice. They had to get up. You have to. It's like something rises up in you and moves you. And so on the other side of that, another common thread is we're supposed to submit. And it's not just that, oh, I'm afraid of Jesus, I better do this to earn his love. It's like you love him so much, you want to. You want to do anything you can to make him happy. And then you don't want to just do what you're told. You want to go beyond that. I mean, it's like when you love somebody. It's like your spouse, and they're not feeling well or something. You don't want to do just what they need. You don't just, bring them, Kleenex, medicine, cough drops, whatever. You want to do something special beyond that. Maybe you bring them their favorite magazine or, a movie to watch, or you do something with them. You go above and beyond because you don't want them to just feel better. You want them to feel that, love you have for them. And another thing I kind of saw was that disciples are unashamed. They're visible. You don't hide your faith. You don't do anything. You're kind of out in the open. You're basically kind of like Harvey. You don't hide. You're unashamed. You got, And another thing is that disciples bear fruit, and not just a little bit, but abundantly. And everything a disciple does isn't for themselves. It's to glorify God. So that when somebody sees you and what you're doing, they don't think about praising you. They see how God's providing for them through you. And, it's kind of basically it. The core of it is that you love Jesus more than anything, any person. It's like you'd walk away from anything. You'd give up anything. Words fail. But I think that's pretty much, that's what that homework brought to me. Bonfire type.
For me, the main two things I'd managed to take from the homework is there's one, the most important common thread in all the scripture is Christ. And to most effectively become a disciple of his, you have to take everything you believe, think, love, and be willing to just set it aside and leave it where it is. Because then only by you giving all of yourself, not only you're going to be a more effective follower of Christ, but you're glorifying God through that action.
Amen. Awesome.
I think somebody was reading my notes. Yes. In Matthew 12, 46 through 50, Jesus' mother and his half-brothers and sisters came. Well, they came they came thinking that they could interrupt him in what he was doing. And I seen it like they came like they thought they had special privileges. And that's when Jesus stretched forth his hand. And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brother." And from verses 49 and 50, those who are relation to Jesus are those who do the will of the Heavenly Father. Jesus in John 8, 30 and 31 affirms discipleship to those who continue in his word. Jesus had called his disciples in Matthew 12, 49 through 50, his family. This, of course, is a spiritual connection. The criteria for one to have to be a true disciple who was and is to remain in his word. Because in Psalms 138, 2, part B, it says, "For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name." And the word "remaining" to me means to be steadfast or to persevere, to distinguish those who are truly born of God, not disciples in name only. John 13, 34 and 35, the mark or trait of a true disciple is the love for one another. The apostle John reiterates this in his epistle in 1 John 4, 7 and 8. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." There is the same correlation of love, Jesus said in John 15, 12 through 15. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father I have made known to you." From John 13 through John 15, 17, Jesus has been building a description of the eternal life which John bore witness to. Jesus washed the disciples' feet in John 13, 10, 11. He proclaimed them to be clean, of course, except for Judas. In John 14, 16, 17, and 26, Jesus is talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the intimacy with his Father in John 14, 20, and 21, and 23. This, among others, is further developed in chapter 15. In verse 15, we, or disciples, or servants, are called friends. The conclusion is this, that remaining in him, being obedient, loving him, loving each other, we then are considered friends and family. And then Pastor had part two of the homework and from Matthew 10. And the part that kind of jumped out at me was the rich ruler that came to Jesus running and knelt before him because he recognized who Jesus was. And he was asking Jesus, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus asked him, "What is the scripture and how do you read it?" And they got into a conversation. And Jesus quoted five commandments. And those five commandments were the ones that dealt with relation. And this man said, "I've kept all these from my youth." And Jesus said, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have, give to the poor, pick up your cross, and follow me." And he went away sad. He went away sad because he couldn't let go of his riches. He couldn't pick up his cross, and he couldn't follow Jesus. And so Jesus wasn't implying that he could be saved by his acts of charity, but rather by taking up his cross and having faith in Jesus as Messiah, then he would have eternal life. this man couldn't get past his riches. They had a hold on him, and that hold was greater to him than the cross he was to bear. So I wrote down this question, what is our cross? That answer is found individually. When the rich man faded into the crowd, Jesus remarked on the difficulty of rich people entering into the kingdom. Verse 28, blessings of following Jesus by leaving home, family, for all Jesus and the gospel, we will receive 100-fold. That's 10,000% increase. That's huge. Return in this age to come. And thinking about those that we, you know, because Jesus as our example, he in his humbled himself and washed the disciples' feet. And he said, I give you an example of what you're to be one to another. And that is that love thread.
God, show me three words this week. Well, actually four. But speak it forth in faith. Okay, so I can't count. I knew you'd be on that, Brother Ed. But that really hit home. Because I had to stop and think what I was speaking forth before. Some of it was good. Some of it wasn't so good. And he also showed me this week the importance of love for one another, no matter what. No matter what. Because I used to have a really short cutoff point. If you didn't like it, tough. But I can't be that way anymore. That isn't who I am in Christ. It was an awesome week in here this week. I had a lot of people come in. And it was all God. And what I've noticed, especially this week, is that I didn't rely on Glenn. I relied on what God wanted me to say. That I took a second when somebody asked me a question and I stepped back. And I said, God, what do you have to say? What do you want to say to me? What do you want to do here? It's not about me. It's about this person that you brought in front of me right now, this instant. I have nothing. So what do you have for him? And I am so blessed of the service this morning. Inside, I'm jumping up and down. So thankful that we came together in unity in prayer today. And that's exactly what God wanted today. A lot of things got set free here today. A lot of people got set free here today. I got set free here today. And as we were praying over Apostle Harvey, who was laying on the floor, I was so honored to be able to say what God told me to my brother, and that it wasn't coming from Glenn. Folks, we all have God inside of us. And he wants us to release that to others, because it was freely given to us. And I am just so thankful for the love and the compassion that I saw here today. So, Lord, I give you the praise and the glory for what you're doing on each and every one of us.
Okay. Most people here don't know this. But for the past amount of time I've been coming here, I haven't been me. Parts of me would show through. But I had a big mask on that said Christian. Wasn't. It was just me hiding, putting on a shell, letting everybody know everything's okay. God's doing this, God's doing that. Great. But it wasn't who I was. Really, I'm a broken man who's hurting, needs love. Didn't understand God loved me. But I tell everybody I knew it. Didn't know a thing. So these past few weeks, I've been running away from God. I went back to my drugs. I went back to my drinking. Went back to shunning everybody. And all it did is leave me even more hurt and broken, more sinful. I started taking it out on my wife. And I caused her to be bitter towards me. Telling her I'd stop, but didn't stop. And these past couple weeks, I was just sick of it. You know, I wanted to just tell the truth. I just wanted to be me, flawed and all, whether anybody liked it or not. And upon accepting that, it's where God told me he loved me. And I was able to make the choice in my heart that I believed that. And it brought so much peace, so much joy to me. I can't explain it. And it's everything's changing since I made that choice to believe God loves me. I'm starting to see things more, wanting him to change them because I know I can't. And actually being sincere about it. And coming out into the light about everything that's wrong with me. Because I know God's going to fix it. I know I'm among loved ones right here, right now. And the fact, give me a moment, I'm losing myself here. Yeah, God told me I'm the apple of his eye. I believe that too. And it just, it's bringing joy to me. I know joy. You know, I'm still learning to put others before myself and stop being so selfish, but that's what God's doing in me. The big start, the big step was believing his love for me, no matter how flawed I am. And that's where I'm at. Uncovered, no mask, just a big mess who's loved. Also, prayer. It really is coming before the throne of God, humbled. You know, I sat in the presence of God and I felt his power, his greatness, and I did not want to leave it. And now every time I know I can go kneel before the throne and I can sit before God and talk to him and he's listening. His ears are open. And it's a beautiful feeling, let alone the fact of knowing that prayer isn't just talking out into the air and hoping God hears it. No, he's listening. He's listening and is ready to answer and is just ready to love and let you know that he's there. That's another thing that God has shown me. That about his love and that about prayer.
So, the presence of the Lord was here this morning, right? Amen. All right. So this is the question that was rolling through my mind. Now we've gotten that out of the way. Okay. God showed up, right? He did something in everybody. I believe he's asking us this question. Now that we got that out of the way, I want you to think upon, imagine, talk to me about what I can do in your life now that you wouldn't let me do 5 minutes ago. Amen.
How much of Jesus do you want? How close do you want to be? What is Father's next step for you personally? You know? right this second. What is Father's next step for you? What is it he wants for you to do? For you to pray? For you to decide? For you to break agreement with? What's Father's next step for you? Personally. Like, what God wants for Ed is different than what God wants for Leida. Okay? Which is different than what God wants for Judy. Which is different than what God wants for Santiago. What's God's next step for you, Tom? Grace. What's God's next step? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? What's his next step? What if, do you want to go forward with God? Are you ready? This goes along with what Pastor Nate just said. What if we didn't go forward with God without the next step being taken? So what's the next step he has for you? If you don't know, would you like to know? It's real simple. James 4:2. You have not because you ask not. I'm serious as a heart attack. Okay. Ask him. Right now. Ask him. Yeah, what's next, Lord? What am I holding back? What is it you want me to do? What is it you want me to pray? What is it you want me to break agreement with? What's next? What's the next step? Just ask him right now. What's the next step for my life? Now, do you really want to go forward with him? It's always so simple. Yes. Break agreement with pride. Now, God, I'm gonna get there. I just want to help you with something real quick, okay? God, how do I pray? How do you want me to pray? God, empower me to pray. Luke 18:1. Lord, teach me to pray. Okay? Okay? Who said something? God, I want to break agreement with pride, but I'm asking you to do it in me. I don't want to live in that kingdom of pride anymore. I want to live in the kingdom of humility, but I can't do it. So I'm inviting you to come do it. You see what I'm saying? Like, whatever it is, the next step, you agree, God, I want that, but I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to do it. I just need you to help me. And it's like the brother said, humbly on my knees, I'm going to walk with you. Leida, today, when you were, we were up here praying, God was just like, oh man, it was like he was going like this. Do you see Leida? Do you hear her? Do you hear her? Little Miss Bashful, Little Miss Don't Speak Up, Little Miss Intimidated or whatever it is. I mean, did you hear her when we were up here? I'm listening. Pastor Glenn. I think Larry spoke up. Rick spoke up. I'm going, Lord, is there any women going to speak up? And then Leida. And then another man or something. Then Leida. And then somebody. And then Leida. And then somebody. And then Leida. And I'm like, dude, do you understand? God is in you. Have you ever been in jail? Well, imagine God's in jail in you. You're restricting him. Let's let him get loose. Let's let him move, breathe, have his being. I was sitting there watching, listening to Leida. God just like, woohoo, woohoo, she's letting me loose. Woohoo, do you hear this? Woohoo. And she just says simple little things, and they were just like, you could just stop after one of them. You know what I mean? Do you understand? It doesn't have to be something big and powerful. That's the whole thing. When you give what you have, he gives you more. You can't outgive him. How does it feel? Awesome. Oh, like awesome. Like awesome. That's what she said up here. Like God's so awesome. So, what's God's next step for you personally? Yes, sir. Okay. God, I have a temper. So, God, that's a spirit of anger, spirit of control, spirit of bitterness. These are spirits, Lord, that are in me. And, Lord, I don't want them in me, but, Lord, it's not me trying to quit being angry. Because what that is doing is like me trying to cover something that's inside of me. So, God, I'm asking you to come Jesus me. I'm asking you to come deliver me. Lord, I'm asking you to reach down in and find the root, the seed of where I let this in inside of me. Why do I have a short temper? Why am I angry? Why do I feel controlled or feel like I got to be in control? Why do I feel like I got to protect myself? God, would you come and do that work inside of me? Would you come and Jesus me? Would you come and I need to be delivered. I need you to come and work inside of me, Jesus. I don't want to let these spirits live through me anymore. They're not your spirit. And God, they've got control of me because it's like it just happens in a heartbeat. Jesus, would you have mercy on me? Would you have pity on me? Would you come and do this work? And he's like, waiting for you to ask me that. He's like, don't you understand? I've been waiting this whole time for you to ask me. He's like, I'm not looking for you to straighten up. I'm looking for you to admit you can't straighten up. You need me. Do you get it? Folks, when we get this, as we get these things, we're going to be like wanting to tell everybody else. Because there's a whole bunch of world just like us. We're all a mess that is loved by God unconditionally, eternally. He doesn't give up on us. He's not disappointed. He sees it. He's hurting for us. He's hurting because we hurt ourselves. He's hurting because we don't turn to the truth. We turn to something besides the truth. He's hurting because he has so much more for us than we allow. So much more. What's the next step for you personally? Yes, sir. Admitting. Right? Admitting this. Amen. When you bring it to the light, Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall find mercy. Okay? When you bring it to the light, it exposes it for what it is. Okay? I think that's Ephesians 5:13. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. It's like when we bring it to the light, it's not hidden anymore. And you realize that these are spirits that we have agreed with. They've deceived us. We've bought into their lies. And now we've let them come live inside of us. But we want the Holy Spirit. When you meet Jesus, he comes to live inside of you. And now you have this tug of war, this flesh, that wants to act and do things in a certain way, wants its own way, wants everybody else to straighten up, you know, right? And then you got this little sweet Holy Spirit inside of you going, and then he gives you a little glimpse. It's like, he's better than chocolate. I want more of that. He's addictive. And he's like, you are my work, but you got to admit it. And you got to fall on me, Jesus said. Fall on me and admit you can't do it without me. I wish I could just make alive inside of you Colossians 2:6. God spent two full years. I think of Joseph in prison. It says after two full years. Well, there was two full years. Two full years. Every single day. Colossians 2:6. No matter what I tried to look at or think about, all I could think of was Colossians 2:6. I never heard anybody preach on it. I never heard anybody teach on it. I memorized it right away. I meditated on it. I'm like, what? What am I not seeing? I got it, but there must be something. What? And it basically says, the same way you get saved is the same way you're supposed to live. How do you get saved? You realize your condition. I'm a mess. And I can't do anything about it. I need you, Jesus. There was a girl this week on Thursday. Janiah's birthday was this last Thursday. I think she became 20, right? And on Thursday, I went to this customer's house. And this girl was there, was in her 20s. And I had been there the day before working, and I walked in, and she acted like what Nate said to me earlier, like she had this spirit of expectancy, like I was going to say or do something, kind of like standing there like this, and I'm like, I'm not like magic God man or something, you know what I mean? It's not like I carry him in a suitcase, okay, I'm going to unfold, and out pops Jesus, you know? It's like, I just walk in, I'm like, I thought I was just going to finish my job. I wasn't expecting anybody to be there, you know. And she's there. She's just standing there, like, looking at me. I'm like, what do you want to do, God? Next thing I knew, God's just getting loose. And she said these words to me. Have you ever read in Acts 16 where Paul and Silas were in the jail and they were singing praises to God and there was an earthquake and the prison doors came open and the jailer came running in and fell down before them and said, sirs, what did he say? What must I do to be saved? That's what she said to me. What must I do to be saved? I'm like, the first thing you have to do is realize you're lost. Because until you realize you're lost, you can't know Jesus as the Savior. You just know Jesus as a historical figure and a warm, fuzzy feeling. I said, but when you realize you're lost and there's nothing you can do to save yourself, then you realize you need help. And then you could turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Jesus, I needed you to die for me. And she goes, could I accept him now? Or something like that. I just got on my knees. She got on her knees. Next thing I know, you got another little baby sister you have to spend eternity with. Just inhabiting heaven. You know what I'm saying? And she told me yesterday she was going to be here today. So I was kind of disappointed because I told her yesterday she made my day telling me that. And I don't know what happened or what kept her from here. They live kind of far north end. But anyway, the point is that what's God's next step for you? Because, folks, we don't run through life. We baby step through life. And if you're not baby stepping through life, you're wallowing in the mud. You're like bogged down. And Jesus wants us to learn to walk on the water. And the only way to walk on the water of circumstances is, number one, to admit you can't do it. And number two, move at what he says and keep your focus on him. It's just that simple. So what's your next step? What's your next step? Do you know? What's your next step? What's your next step? What's your next step? Some of you know, and you're not saying, what's your next step? Allowing him to live through me. You know, I guess we got to start there, allowing. But, dude, it's like I'm embracing him living through me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't get higher than Jesus. And it's like I just want him to live through me all the time. I'm just going to tell you something. I think it's Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Have you tasted and found him to be good? Yes. Have you? Well, what I'm saying is, what you've already tasted, you could have more of that. Keep moving in the light he has given you. When you take a step in him, and it's like, wow, what a release. I was telling somebody earlier, I got saved, and then I didn't get in church for 10 months and 3 days. When I first got in church, I thought my wife was going and telling the preacher what I was doing. Because every time I came to church, have you ever sat there and we're preaching, and you feel like I'm talking about your life, like you're the only one? Like, why is he talking about me in front of everybody? Dude, I thought my wife was going and telling him about me. So we were sitting there the first 2 or 3 services, and I elbowed her. She was on this side. I said, "Who?" Because I thought it was her, you know, but I didn't accuse her, you know. That wasn't going to go over. So I said, "Who's telling him about me?" And she said, "He's not talking about you." I said, "It sounds like he's talking about me. He's telling everything about me right in front of everybody." I said this during a service, right? Sit there, because I thought the preacher was following me with a video camera or something, you know? Like, he's just telling all about my sin. And she said, "Listen closely to what he's saying. He's not talking about you." And when I listened, he wasn't talking about me. But it felt like he was talking about me. You know why? Do you know why? Why? Holy Spirit conviction. The Holy Spirit was taking the Word of God, which Ephesians 6:18 calls the sword of the Spirit. And he was taking the Word of God and cutting through all the lies, all the C-R-A-P, I don't like that word, all that stuff. Do you understand? C-R-U-D. I don't like those words. Huh? No, there's no junk. Yeah. J-U-N-K. Okay. He was cutting through all that junk. And he was poking me with the truth. Boop, 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 boop. And the first 2 or 3 services, after I got saved and I got in church, the first 2 or 3 services, I was so uncomfortable. Elbowing her. I was mad at her. So what'd you do to get over it? Man, I'm glad you asked. You got good questions. The preacher gave an altar call. Because when you hear or read the Word of God, do you want to know a secret to the Christian life? You have to make a decision with what you hear. This is what I'm saying. You have to make a decision with what you hear. You can't just be, the word says, don't be hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be doers of the word. When you hear it, if you say, well, I'll think about it later, you just made a decision to put it off and tell God, get in the back seat, or better yet, go get in the trunk, because I don't want to see you because it makes me uncomfortable. You understand? So about two or three services, I sat there being uncomfortable, and he was poking me. Poke, 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 poke. And finally, he gave that altar call, you know, and they're singing, I surrender all, and I'm, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. Now, who was having fun? Sure wasn't me. I got up, I couldn't stand it anymore, and I went forward. Do you know what happened at the altar? This weight came off of me. You ever experienced that? So, do you like carrying the weight? Guess what? I liked it so much that for the next 25 years, every time I ever had an altar, heard an altar call, I went forward. I didn't care if I needed it or not. I didn't want to get to that place where he had that poke, 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 poke. I didn't want to get to that place of having the burden. I just want to like, man, I want to stay in the sweet spot with Jesus. How about you? Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay. So then one Sunday I'm up there, about a month later, and there's all these people at the altar. And I hear, I want you to preach. I looked around. I said, I know you're not talking to me. I was a drug dealer. But I'm sorry, I overhearing what you're saying to somebody else. I don't mean to eavesdrop, God. That's what I told him. And he kept saying, I said, just tell me what you want me to do. I'm just this little guy. Just tell me, what do you want me to do? I want you to preach. God, I'm sorry. You're talking too loud. Just talk to me. So I kept moving over from people. You know, I kept thinking, dude, you know, I'm not supposed to be hearing what he's saying to them. People out in the audience were kind of probably wondering, why is this guy kneeling, just scooting from one end of the altar to the other? You know, it's like, he's not getting closer to God. He's going sideways like a crab. And finally, everybody was gone. And he said, I want you to preach. And I'm like, me? You can't be talking to me. What I'm saying is, what's his next step for you? Brother Nate, if you want to start, he's going to play some music right now. And my daughter, who knows all the verses, because I only know two of them. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid myself of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Is God calling you? What's he want for you? What's your next step? Because I'm telling you, it's baby steps. Now, if I was sitting in your shoes, I would want to hear what I'm getting ready to say, okay? If I was sitting in your shoes, I'd say, okay, I want to know what the next step is. But and I'll do it right now, so because I want to know the next step after that, and the next step after that. And I want to know the next six steps. And he's like, if you're willing to do the one, I'll tell you the next one. But if you're not willing to do
The first one, I can't tell you the second one because there's no use in it. Do you want to know the next step? I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm trying to help you. If he's calling you, come. You can just sit there in your seat. But an altar is a meeting place with God. And faith is an action word. When you step up and you walk forward to that altar, it's like you're saying, God, I want to leave everything else behind. I want to leave my life behind. I want to come forward. I want to give you my life. I want to know what you're up to. I want to give you my life. I want, what is it you want? What's the next step? And then what, okay, and then you tell him, okay, yes, I'll do that. And then he'll tell you the next step. Because there will always be a next step. Because it's walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus. Walking one baby step at a time. One step at a time. This is hard, God. This is hard. I don't know how to do this, God. And he's like, one step at a time. Depend on me. But God, I got open with people, but now I'm afraid. You know, what do they think of me? What? And he's like, what do I think of you? He said, I'm so happy that you got open. He says, I want you to keep being open. He says, don't draw back. Don't be a little turtle sticking your head out and then drawing it back. Just get rid of the shell. Stick your head out. Be open. Come on. What's next? What's next? I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. I will ever love and trust you in your presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid myself of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Jesus, I just want to give you my life. Jesus, I don't want to hold anything back. You are worthy of every breath. You gave every breath for me. And Jesus, I just want to be like what Jen was talking about. I want to be that disciple, Lord, that's totally given, holding nothing back, in love with you, obedient to you, submissive to you, loving, letting you love through me, letting you love others through me. Jesus, I don't know how to do it, but I want to do it. I don't want to hold anything back. That's the key. I don't want to hold anything back. I want to walk with you one step at a time. Teach me how to walk with you. Teach me how to live in the warmth of your smile. Teach me how to obey you. Help me to go forward from where I am. Teach me how to do that, Jesus. How do I go forward from where I am? I don't want to keep repeating the same path. I want to go forward with you. Forward with you. Walking with you one step at a time. One step at a time. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. What's the next step? I want to give you the next step. Jesus, I want to walk with you. I just want to picture holding your hand, walking with you, holding your hand, walking down the road of life, the path of life, arm in arm with you, holding your hand, looking at you, you're looking at me, reach over, touch my face, touch my hair, hug me up to your breast. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.